things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, Shawnee boy.
Welcome back. We're back from the long, long winter.
Man, what a
or summer, the football winter.
Yeah, that's, you know, my birthday's in September.
Oh yeah.
And it's one of those things that, you know, it's, you want to get excited about, hey, you know, we survived another year, yay. But it's also the time of the year when the trees die and the grass dies, and you know that winter's coming. We're in Minnesota, so it's it comes in pretty hard sometimes.
Winter is coming.
But
is it worth the trade-off? Season. Is it worth it for football?
Yeah, it has to be. It has to. There's no other option.
Mm-hmm. Or is football the consolation? But I'm glad to be back. It feels like it's been a long time, a long off season.
It has been a long time. This is the kind of like a before game one little chat that we get together. It also helps us to kind of work out any speed bumps that we have to work through as technology changes in the last few months. But yeah, it's been kind of a different off season because we, you know, besides Adam Scheffler, we haven't really had a whole lot of drama. He tries to drum it up, but, you know, Aaron came out and said, "Nope, I'm happy. I'm good." And then they're like, "Now what are we going to do? We don't have enough." Green Bay is one of the worst cities to lock down information. And it makes sense, you know, being considered a small town compared to New York or wherever.
Small town, you have a very corporate kind of structure to the team's management.
Mm-hmm.
So they're
not a Jerry Jones going on the radio once or twice.
Exactly. Yeah. But I'm excited for it. How do you feel? We're recording this Wednesday, the 7th. Tomorrow is the first game of the NFL season.
Yeah, it is.
Chiefs, I believe, right?
What's that?
Is it Chiefs Bills tomorrow?
It is the Bills and the Rams.
Oh, Bills and Rams. Bills, that's a good
LA
one.
Against the Rams. Yeah, that should be a good one. There's actually some pretty good games coming up, but, you know, of course, the big one being Russell Wilson
Packers
going back
Vikings
to Seattle.
Oh, okay.
No. That was nothing. that's just a
that's gimme. Nothing.
I'm talking about, you Russell know, Wilson going back to Seattle.
It's funny that Rams Bills is kicking off the year because that's what everyone thought the Super Bowl was going to be, and then the Bengals got the upset. It's like the NFL's like, "Oh, okay, we'll do it anyways. We'll still have the game, you know, even though the Bengals messed it up.
The Bengals get to the Super Bowl, but they still can't get any love. People are like, "Oh, no, that was just a fluke. That's not going to happen again."
I looked at power rankings just today. We're down there. We're low single digits. Like, everyone has us around 8 or 9 on the power rankings to go into the season.
I'll take it.
You'll take it. You like that? You don't want to be top dog. Everyone gunning for you.
I think players get, they think too much.
Yeah. You know,
just go in. I believe as an athlete, you're better if you have like the underdog. You know, you're going to try harder. You're going to have a chip on your shoulder. You know, that's Aaron's whole career. He's got a chip on his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, now that he's had some magic mushrooms, I don't know. You know, maybe he.
I think it's a tea, isn't it? It might be made of mushrooms. Ayahuasca.
Okay. Is that it?
Yeah. Actually, one of the. Let me pull it up here quick. Power rankings that I looked at, because I like The Athletic, I like their coverage. I can only see certain things because they put a lot behind a paywall. Okay. They have Packers at number 8. And they have the good news and the bad news. The bad news is kind of talking about we're going in with some injury question marks already. But the good news is even if Aaron Rodgers isn't able to overcome Davante Adams' departure to turn a wide receiver group of castoffs and unproven youngsters into something special, he's probably experienced an alternate reality in which he did. I read it and I was like, what? It's seriously.
Hey, so you
that's
know
the good I'm news.
I'm not gonna, you know, point fingers at anybody, but if it helps you, great. You know, it's just, but
do you think he double checked that this wouldn't get him suspended before he put it out there? Like, is this on the list of suspended
the double
drugs?
Check, you know?
Yeah, he discount double checked the drug list of what would get you suspended. And then he was like, okay, I can talk about this publicly.
Yeah, he loves to play mind games too. You know, the Pat McAfee show, he goes on there. Pat McAfee, I'm sure they give him the questions ahead of time. I mean, they're so softball. And then it's just,
they want him to come back.
He made the show for
Pat. He gets them a lot of viewers. Yeah. A lot of clicks, a lot of clips on Twitter get shared around, things like that. Justin, who might be listening, our resident Viking fan, friend of mine, he won't watch. He likes the Pat McAfee show, won't watch when Rodgers is on because he's too afraid he'll like him. He says anytime he sees Rodgers, he seems too likable, and then he won't be able to hate the Packers.
Hey, Justin.
Hey.
That's funny. Man, back to as far as the season, I am not that worked up about our wide receivers as some people are. We've got some guys that they got a little tread on them now. They've been playing. I expect that there is probably a really good chance that our first game against the Vikings is not going to be real pretty. It's basically our first preseason.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't play any starters all preseason.
Right. And I think our defense, from on paper, they look great. Maybe
I'm excited about the defense.
Keep us close, and we can pull out some wins until we get our wings on air underneath our wings on offense.
Yeah. How about this? How about we kind of just go position group by position group and just give I have the depth chart pulled up here. I'll give some quick takes. You jump in with any thoughts you have.
Fair.
So starting with quarterback, Rodgers beat out Jordan Love for the starting role.
Yeah, I was surprised on that.
did you watch the preseason games with Love?
I saw a little bit. It was the game, I think it was the second game for Love that I felt like he kind of got, he was playing pretty good, but his receivers, you know, they had some stuff that bounced off their hands and stuff like that. But
he was dealing with the rookie receivers and then also just some kind of boneheaded plays, I think, from the backups around him.
When you don't have anybody that's worth anything playing with you, I thought he did pretty good. You know what I mean? He didn't have any of the starters.
He seemed less. The times we've seen him in the past, he looks like he's kind of overwhelmed with the speed of the game. Like he wasn't, like the decision making wasn't there, and it seemed better. And he can really zip some passes in there. So
I agree.
That was good to see. But all right, we're going in Rodgers as the starter. let's move on to wide receivers. Alan Lazard has an ankle injury. Apparently he got stepped on in one of the practices. And he has been not practicing so far this week. Still did not recording Wednesday. This is the first day they had to release an injury report. Still did not practice, listed as questionable. So we may be without our wide receiver one. He is ranked as the worst wide receiver one in the NFL right now on some power rankings I saw.
Wow.
But we have a lot of solid wide receiver twos. you kind of knew that was going to be the thing. You can't jump from like a iffy wide receiver three to the star role the next season without a lot of question marks around you. So we'll see. Rodgers seems to have confidence in him.
And I don't put a lot of credence in people's opinions with this stuff. They're trying to get clicks and trying to sell papers or whatever. It's just, they're going to say whatever they need to get people to click on the article. And we'll see. I mean, we just got to wait and see.
One of the big, big wide receiver stories of the offseason was Sammy Watkins, someone we did bring in to kind of fill out that role. I know the front office and Gutenkirst talked a lot about no one's going to trade us a wide receiver. No one's going to give Aaron Rodgers another big weapon. But I don't know. It seemed like there was always rumors that they were trying for certain things. And you, like you said, with the Packers, they're so hush-hush, you don't know what was really going on behind the scenes. But it'll be interesting to see Sammy Watkins. He has flashed so much talent at points, you know, a lot of speed, some playmaking ability. And he'll be really looking for kind of a career resurgence with Green Bay. And if you're going to do it anywhere, I think Aaron Rodgers under the helm throwing the ball to you, he can make any receiver kind of their level, you know, stepped up there. So I'm excited to see what he can do. I think we'll see more from Sammy Watkins than some people are expecting.
I agree. And Aaron also, it's almost a curse because these guys leave Green Bay and they go play somewhere else and they don't perform as well because of Aaron. So
yeah, get that trade capital though.
That's right.
Randall Cobb coming back, the old veteran. We have to hope he finds kind of the fountain of youth as far as our wide receivers stepping up, because he's, you know, a little injury banged up each season here, not quite the playmaker he was, but Rodgers loves him. And if anything, I'm sure he's a great influence on the young receivers that we have. Speaking of which is Christian Watson out of NDSU and Romeo Dubs, kind of the preseason training camp darling. Everyone's been talking about Romeo Dubs being a steal of the draft and just making plays. And he had some nice catches in the preseason games. It looked good.
I hear you. And I'm hoping it happens in the regular season.
I'm hoping so.
It happens every year. There's always some darling that comes out of the preseason. And then when the regular season starts, it's like, well, whatever happened to.
Yeah, but a lot of those seasons we have solid starting wide receivers that they don't get any, the rookies don't get playing time. This is going to be a very different wide receiver year than we're used to. And it makes you wonder if it might even help kind of, you know, diversify our offense, because we've seen in the past so many times that Rodgers is without Davante Adams due to an injury and having to spread the ball around more. I don't think we've lost. Isn't that the stat? Yeah, we haven't lost a game when Adams is out. So it might be good for Rodgers to have to kind of, you know, survey the field more, go to the best option, and we'll see. My main concern with having such a young receiving core is, and I also want to mention quick, Amari Rodgers looking to have a, you know, big year two. He never quite reached the potential that a lot of people think he has last year. Couldn't get his head right for the game is one thing LaFleur talked about. Couldn't handle the big moments. I'm hoping he, you know, he matures a lot, kind of comes into his own. And I've heard them talk about they want to use him as kind of like a poor man's Deebo Samuel. You know, like a mini Deebo Samuel, where he gets a lot of running plays and like little sweeps and things like that. But my main concern is I think we might see a lot of big games from these young receivers in the regular season. But then when you get to the playoffs, that's where rookies tend to make mistakes that really bite you in the butt. So it makes me nervous having, you know, that young receiving core going into the playoffs, even though that's definitely getting a little ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, that's, I'm just like, well, that's optimistic thinking.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm not too worked up about it. I think it's, you got to have faith in the coaches and the system and the, you know, people drafting. And it's obvious that they're not looking, in my opinion, they're not looking short term to try and win one right now. They're looking to keep the whole team healthy. And I don't know. It should be a fun year. Might be different than we're used to.
Yeah. But it'll be interesting with Christian Watson because so much talent there. You know, the size and the speed and athleticism. And he kind of blew the doors off the scouting combine and things like that. But he comes from, you know, first of all, North Dakota State. So he's kind of a local boy for us here in Minnesota. You heard about him in college. And it was interesting to see that we got him. First of all, your wife already has the jersey to represent Watson. And, but there's so many question marks around him because of the offense they ran. They were a very much heavy running, run first offense. And when they threw the ball, it was pretty infrequently. So it's interesting to see not only the step up in competition level being a bigger one than most rookies are looking at, but also, you know, just the higher role. We're still kind of that balanced offense compared to a lot of teams. We run the ball a lot, but we'll be throwing more than he's used to.
Matt, and speaking of running backs, we got a couple of good ones.
Yeah, let's move to running backs. We're keeping two on the roster. I don't know the last time we only went with two running backs. I think that's pretty
interesting. I think they'll be adding somebody later.
Yeah, I think we'll kind of have a revolving door of like practice squad guys or, you know, next best man up if we're dealing with injuries, because at some point, you know, we will. But Aaron Jones, just a stud in the running game and receiving game. AJ Dillon has been surprisingly good in the receiving game as well. So they can kind of do it all out of the backfield. I'm hoping we see more time with both of them on the field.
Yes.
I'm always excited to see that. And, you know, defenses, you know, really have to have their head on a swivel. Who's it going to go to? But we haven't done it as much as I would have liked in the past, but it'll be interesting to see there. I don't have too many concerns with those two at running back.
Yeah, I'm glad to see, hopefully both of them are healthy starting out the season. And I think that, boy, if they could come up with a game plan where they don't both have to be on the field all the time together, but I really think that they could come up with some really good schemes where you just don't know. I mean, are they going to hand it off? They get to throw it. They gonna,
you know. Yeah. I think that kind of will help solidify the lack of depth or experience at the wide receiver role to have Aaron Jones there where he can line up wide and things like that. And we've seen plenty of times that Rodgers throws it to him. So that'll just kind of open up more options there on passing plays. As far as passing also goes, tight end is one of the bigger question marks on the team going into the season. Tight end number one listed by the Packers is Mercedes Lewis, one of the only players, especially tight ends in the league, to be an AARP member. And so it'll be interesting. You know what you have with him, you know, a good blocker. If he gets open, he's not going to run past anyone, but if he gets open, he can definitely haul in the ball.
Yeah, he's just,
but he's just still going. Yeah. The only thing with him is, you know, we had, I think it was in the playoff game last year, a big catch in the end zone, and he kind of tried to one hand grab it, and that just drove me nuts. I'm like, come on, why are we trying to catch it with one hand? You're not Odell Beckham here. Robert Tonyan coming off ACL tear. Yeah, Big Bob. So not sure what we'll see from him as far as what LaFleur has said. He is on schedule to be there in the regular season, everything they want from him. But, you know, we've seen him in training camp look like he's back at it. But again, regular season football is kind of a different story. So we'll see where he's at, but he can definitely be a weapon. And then behind him, you have Josiah DeGuara and Tyler Davis, who I think are decent backups. And I think DeGuara has shown some athleticism and the ability to, you know, really run once he gets the ball in his hands. So that would be a good option. Yeah,
I'm feeling okay with
feeling okay.
Yeah, with that, you know. And then hopefully Bakhtiari is back.
He's a question mark going into week one. He's questionable, limited practice. today.
But we've got, you know, we got good backups on our offensive line. And
we do. I think if we have our starters on the offensive line, we can be one of the top three offensive lines in the league.
Hmm.
And we do have some good backups, like Yosh Nijman, the human typo, I think, is I can't help seeing his name without always thinking someone just mistyped it.
Is that the one that Aaron called him the giant or something? Like he said,
I'm not here, sure.
He's like 7 feet tall or something. And
just, can't throw that direction of the field because you can't see anyone past him. Yeah, so he's a good backup. Zach Tom, new guy coming in, is supposed to be a very talented backup. Jake Hansen, backup center. Sean Ryan, backup right guard. Rasheed Walker, backup right tackle behind Elton Jenkins. Elton Jenkins, I'm excited to see. You know, he kind of dealt with some injuries last year, but when he's going, he is one of the top tackles in the league, I think, behind Bakhtiari.
I agree.
So our tackles, if they can stay healthy, will be solid on the ends of that line.
I figure we're going to move on to defense. Is that correct?
Yeah, let's do some defense.
So I just, one thing that every year, it doesn't matter the team. I always feel bad for these players that it's like last preseason game or the last practice before they play their first regular season game, and then they get injured for the year, or we're not sure, it's like torn Achilles, you know, mm-hmm. and screwed up their knee or something. It's just like, man, that's that to me, that is the testament to make the money when you can, because mm-hmm. NFL stands for not for long, and I feel so bad for them, you know, that all the work and effort they put in, it's just kind of like an Olympic athlete. You know, I always feel the same way with them. You know, if something happens, they've been training for 4 years and then you can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Safety Micah Abernathy, I think, fell into that exact situation you're describing. I think he was released by the Packers. In one of the cuts here at safety, I think he did have an injury. Maybe not. I'm not seeing it come up here. It might have been Jerwan Winfrey at wide receiver who was released with an injury where he was looking to make – it looked like he would make the team, got injured in – like right before one of the cuts happened and ended up getting cut. And it's like, you just feel for someone because it's
– yeah, yeah.
It's just a roll of the dice at that point.
I mean, anybody who's played a full contact sport like that, I mean, there really are times where it's just not fun. I mean, it hurts. Mm-hmm. It really, really hurts. And so when they give it everything and including looking at the, you know, the concussions mm-hmm. and cognitive issues, that they're going to have to deal with, just make as much as you can. And the NFL certainly is not hurting for money. Now what they opened up with the gambling, it's just going to, billions are going to pour in. They're going to be so wealthy. I don't know how they're going to ever sell teams to if they're not from Russia, because you need people that have billions and billions of dollars. Denver sold for $5 billion or $5.5 billion.
It's getting to be like professional soccer prices.
Yes. And who do you think it would have to be? A family that's got a lot. Walmart. That must have been who bought Denver. It's just like, and the people that, I don't know if you read about it, but they were just saying that it got to a point where they basically came out and said, we're going to get this. You can keep bidding more. We'll keep adding more because they're so rich.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It's a big money sport. And kind of going back to what you said with injuries, you just hope that the guys who do spend their whole career trying to make it to this level, they get, is it, I think, 3 years? You have to play in the NFL to get the pension.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is like the average on how long people
it's
play.
It's like the 3.5, I think it's the average career. So you just hope, you know, they get something out of it when they come in. They don't get washed out right away. Looking at the defense here. So we were a solid, solid defense a lot of last year. And I think we just added some talent. I don't think we lost much when it comes to defense. We don't have any like position groups like the wide receivers on offense where you have a lot of question marks.
Right.
Cause like, you know, Dean Lowry still the starter at defensive end, but we drafted Devontae Wyatt with pick number 26. He looked not great at points in the preseason. So I think that's it's definitely a good way of Dean Lowry to be there in front of him, but you know, Lowry's going to need a rest or an injury break at some point, and we'll see Devontae Wyatt come in. So hopefully he does good. But our next draft pick, Quay Walker, is someone I'm really excited about. And he is going to start at inside linebacker next to Devondre Campbell. And that was one of our big things last year where, you know, we had Preston Smith, Rashad Gary at outside linebacker, just a couple of beasts that could really wreck an offense. Devondre Campbell was solid all year long, could go sideline to sideline, stop the run, things like that. But then we didn't have that next big name at inside linebacker next to Campbell. And I think Quay Walker is looking, he's looking good. He's looking fast. He looks just like the kind of guy that they want at that spot.
It's been a long time to have, to have a really strong linebacking core inside,
yeah,
outside.
I mean, we had AJ Hawk, but he was never even the fastest guy. You know, he had a good head on him, knew where to go. And he was a good leader, nice hair, but he wasn't going to run sideline to sideline and beat anyone with speed. But Joe Barry seems to love his fast linebackers. And it seems like that's what they focused on. So
that'd be interesting to see. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. I think we had a good pass rush last year, and I think it could be even more improved. Nose tackle Kenny Clark, if he stays healthy,
man,
he's one of the biggest wrecking balls in the league.
Oh man, Kenny.
Rashawn Gary really came into his own last year. He came into the league with so much talent, so much athleticism, and I don't think we even came close to seeing his ceiling last year.
No, I agree.
So I'm very excited there. Let's see who else do we have. Well, let's go to the secondary then. Secondary, as far as cornerbacks, I think we have, if Rasul Douglas can keep the same level that he played with last year and got himself a new contract, I'm very excited because we have Jair Alexander, number one, Eric Stokes, number two, and Rasul Douglas behind him.
Mm-hmm.
Behind that, there's some question marks, but I think behind them, we have Shamar John Charles and Kelshon Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to see how they perform. But I think most teams would be very happy to have three solid cornerbacks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, most they drop off after the top two cornerbacks or even just one solid cornerback and then some question marks behind them. So the fact that we have Alexander, Douglas, and Stokes, I'm excited.
I'm with you.
Yeah, kind of the same at safety. You have Adrian Amos, who we know he's solid. I was happy when we got him from the Bears, and he lived up to what I expected and more, I think. With consistency, Darnell Savage is kind of that playmaking, I would say, safety, kind of that Charles Woodson. Like, he's going to run around. You might see him down at the line going for some, like, tackles for a loss or a sack, or he might jump a big ball trying to get an interception, but he's also going to let up some big plays because of that. But I think he's improved every year, and I'm excited to see what we have from him. We don't have much behind those two.
Nope.
So that might be the biggest lack of depth on the defense. Behind him, we have Dallin Leavitt, Rudy Ford, and Tariq Carpenter. But also, you know, two solid safeties is better than we've had in a lot of past years. This is one of the first years we have solid starters all along the defense, which is good because we've invested a lot of draft capital into this defense, so we should be able to say this eventually.
Right.
I'm going to knock on every piece of wood we can here, because as you know, dominoes start falling after week one starts, and you never know what's going to happen in the NFL. But right now I'm very happy with how our defense looks. And
what do you think about, we got a new special teams coordinator who I feel like, excuse me, I'm still dealing with the post COVID stuff. I think that he's
Richard Bisaccia.
It's no, you just need to go. I think we're fortunate to have him. And I've heard he's a stud. That we can get him to turn around our special teams enough.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if he does get another head coaching job or another job somewhere else, that we're actually on the way. But it's been so long since we've been so bad on special mm-hmm. teams.
Yeah, he's supposed to be the guy to bring in at special teams, which, like you said, I think we still have some trauma from the Zook years and things like that, but it's been so long of not good special teams or not having it as a weapon, but having our special teams be our biggest liability in games.
Yep.
It would be so nice to just be middle of the road. I wouldn't even complain about that. I'd be like, okay, as long as we're not losing games because of special teams blunders, I'm happy. It didn't look great in the preseason. I don't know if you paid much attention to special teams. It looked pretty much the same as it has the last few years. But again, it's preseason. They're figuring things out. I don't know if they're playing starters on special teams. I know they talked about that last year, doing that more. I'm not sure what the plan is with Rich Bisaccia. So maybe they didn't have the guys who would be playing special teams in regular season playing in the preseason. But it did not look good. So we'll see. That's definitely, we talked about the offense, kind of question mark at wide receiver. Defense looks solid. Special teams, once again, will be our biggest question mark, but I'd say the coordinator he gives us a lot to hope for.
Yeah, we don't know where Mason is because, he hasn't played yet. He was hurt apparently. And,
had surgery.
Hopefully, he is 57 now, so he's got enough experience underneath.
Yeah, he's right there behind Mercedes Lewis. Yeah,
and then there's me,
and then you. Yeah, I think so. They said Crosby, they were looking at a 6-week recovery window, and it sounds like he's on track for that. But we didn't see him in the preseason.
Right.
They brought in other kickers, kind of a revolving window of other kickers, and it made you a little concerned. Like, are they just bringing in someone to get us through the preseason, or are they looking for a possible Crosby replacement? You don't know. But they've been very loyal to Crosby in the past when he had that horrible half a season.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were calling for his head, but they stuck with them, and then he really turned it around. It'll be interesting, and that kind of goes back to those just kind of the blunders on special teams. The liability plays where when you need it in the big moment, is someone going to fumble the long snap? It goes back to that where he hasn't had any practice time now with the long snapper and Pat O'Donnell, the punter who will be holding it. By the way, our long snapper they brought in this offseason, I think has the best name of any long snapper, Jack Coco.
Jack Coco.
That is such a great name. Jack Coco with the long snap. But I mean, that's been a thing for Guttenkerst ever since he kind of took over as the general manager role, is finding us a consistent long snapper. And we've invested draft capital on it and stuff, and we haven't really found that consistency, but hopefully Jack Coco can be our long-term long snapper. And
Jack Coco,
it looks like we have Amari Rogers. They have him listed as both the punt returner and kick returner going into the season. So hopefully he can kind of take a step up too, because they've talked about him having so much talent and speed at that position, but he seems to fumble the ball in the worst possible moments.
Right.
So, but we're just, the talent's there. We're just waiting for him to get his head right.
All right. So we've got, I don't know, maybe I'm not seeing this correctly, but tomorrow is the 8th of September. It's the 8th of September. And it's the Bills at the Los Angeles Rams. And I believe that this is the pregame Thursday night, pre Amazon. I think the next.
Is this one not on Amazon?
The next Thursday night game is going to be streaming on Amazon, which I think is going to throw a lot of people off. They're not, if you're not following it that well, but they.
Big money Amazon.
Oh, man. It's going to be interesting to see how this goes, but NFL has decided they're going to take that leap into off the Alphabet networks and go towards streaming. So we'll see how it goes.
But they decide they'd follow the money once again.
Of course. Of course.
All right. Yeah, it'll be interesting.
How do they become billionaires?
And, you know, they have... Aren't we in London this year? That's what I was trying
believe
to think.
We are. Yes,
I was gonna say, because you know, you were talking about like coming billionaires, following the money, things like that, and that's a big part of them trying to grow that international market and make it such an international fan base. We've really avoided this, the London game for a lot of years as Packer fans, but I think we lost a home game because of it, I believe. Yes. Which is a bummer.
That's how it goes. Yeah.
Oh, is it always a home game that you lose?
Yeah, I believe so. Whoops. Okay. That's me.
That's you?
Yeah, I'm trying to see. Packers in London.
It's probably when we play the Jets.
Giants.
They like the Jets over there. The Giants. Okay. Yeah. And that will be week 5, October 9th. 8:30 a.m.
I'm just not going to go to bed. I'll just get drunk and stay up.
I was going to say, you avoid the hangover by not stopping drinking.
Man.
I will be there for week 1.
You will?
The Sunday game. Not that one. I'm not guaranteeing that. But this Sunday against the Vikings, I'll be at your place. You excited?
I am. I'm looking forward to it. I try not to get too up for it because it is basically a preseason game.
Yes, but it counts towards the final record. This
That's
one,
true. But I'm not expecting good football. When there is great,
I'm expecting good football. So they better live up to my expectations. going to that game a little bit here, just touching on, so today, Wednesday, as we're recording, is the day they had to release the injury reports going into week 1. We have 11 guys on injury report already. Vikings are going in with only one player on the report. Limited in practice with a biceps injury was Vikings defensive lineman Jonathan Bullard. But we had on did not practice Bakhtiari, Elton Jenkins on the O-line, safety Darnell Savage, and tight end Robert Tonyan. Lazard did not practice. Those four, Bakhtiari, Elton Jenkins, Darnell Savage, and Robert Tonyan, were all limited in practice today, meaning they will be questionable going into Sunday's game. That is a bummer. That's a lot of guys injured when you sat all your starters for the preseason to avoid injuries. Like,
yeah,
what kind of practices are they running over there?
What's going on out there?
Yeah. And like you said, hopefully Mason Crosby is 100% because it doesn't take much as far as injury to throw off a kicker because it's such a precision thing.
So we... I feel like we are kind of coming to a close here. Do we want to do picks?
Yeah, we can do picks. I was going to say one good news on the injury front is Christian Watson, full participant in practice, looking to be there for week 1. Because he's been kind of a question mark all preseason. He had a knee surgery.
Oh, it was knee. Okay.
Like a arthroscopic knee surgery at some point in the in training camp. So he's looking good.
Did you hear about, I can't remember what player it was for the Cowboys, but, and this is an injury that I can really relate to. He had the tendons in his muscles actually ripped bone. They pulled the bone away. From it separated his bone. I can't remember if it was his shoulder or what, but
ouch.
It's like, yeah, it's a, you got to be tough. Mm-hmm. It's just a tough sport. All right. Are you going to write them down?
Yeah, I'm going to write them down. Do you want to plug?
No, I can't. I can't plug my voiceover stuff right now. If anybody wants to contact me, they you're more than welcome, but I'm still dealing with
no consistency with the voice. Yeah, the COVID's got your tongue. I got you.
COVID's got your tongue.
Yeah.
How about then, you?
I'm not really doing it anymore with the Greenlight Graphic Design because I went back to school. I'm no longer doing my marketing position.
Sean's going to go get a GED.
My GED.
We're really proud of him.
So I left the nonprofit marketing role. I'm doing part-time work as a mental health worker while I pursue a master's in teaching to go become a teacher.
That's awesome.
Something I've always wanted to do. And classes just started. I'll touch on this quick, actually, since it pertains to the podcast. Classes just started the other week. And that means our recording schedule is probably a lot more set than it has been in previous years because I have evening classes, 5:30 to 9 p.m. So we will be recording on Wednesdays, looking to have it up on Thursday, the podcast. And then I think it was two Thursday games we have. We will look to record on Tuesday, maybe have it up later that Tuesday, if possibly Wednesday morning, if not.
What are they all in-person classes? Or are they a little sidebar here?
Have three classes this first semester. And one of them, my Monday class, is online, 5:30 to 9. Tuesday is on campus. And Thursday is on campus, 5:30 to 9. And I'm about half an hour from campus, so there's a bit of a commute as well. But they've been going well. I'm excited about it.
I think you're going to be great.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
Let's do picks. I got them written down here.
San Francisco at Chicago.
Oh, yeah. I got thrown off. I'm like, did I write down the wrong week of picks? But no, you're right.
San Francisco at Chicago noon on Fox. I'm going to pick the Niners.
The Niners. Yeah, I'll pick the Niners. It's really hard to pick the Bears.
There's
nothing to really be excited about.
They just don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. I haven't seen much to really get me, if I was a Bears fan, excited for this season either.
Right. Exactly.
Eagles at Lions. I can go on this one.
Go ahead.
I'm going Eagles.
I'll go Lions.
All right. You watch. I haven't watched. I still might.
One episode.
One episode of Hard Knocks for you?
Yep.
I might still watch it because Dan Campbell seems like such a character.
He is.
But
fun.
I haven't had time to yet.
He is fun.
He's definitely a player's coach.
Don't remember to look at it, but he is you know, he's one of those guys that I think when he tells you this is what it is, you believe him.
I think if you're a Lions fan, I know that you have a long history of trauma, but I think there is a lot to be excited about for this Lions team. And I don't know if that's like the Hard Knocks bump, media bump that you get, but they had the young receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown break out as such a stud last year, and they got talent at running back. I think Jared Goff has looked like he really fits the scheme well.
I agree.
When they did that straight up trade with Stafford with the Rams. But yeah, I think it'll be exciting So I can see you picking the Lions, but I think the Eagles will be surprisingly good this year. I would see them as a definite dark horse for the Super Bowl.
Wow. Okay. And then last game would be the Packers at the Vikings at 3:25 Central on Fox.
I'm picking the cheese on this one.
Yeah, I'm feeling good about the cheese. I think they've had so much going on with the Vikings, new GM, new coach. You know, they're still chewing on the Kirk Cousins deal that they were locked in. They couldn't get rid of him. And so we'll see. You
Did they
know,
try to get rid of him?
I heard rumors that they were trying to figure out a way to make it work, but they would have to eat so much of his salary if they traded him, because other teams aren't going to pay what they did if they don't want to keep him.
Yeah, not for Kirk Cousins. But it'll be interesting. They have talent. Dalvin Cook at running back has hurt us before, but I think we definitely have the defense of the linebackers to stop him. Za'Darius Smith, we will see him in the purple week one, which will be interesting. There was so much around. He was such a talent for us and so exciting to have him kind of reinvigorate our pass rush that we hadn't had for a while. But he really seemed like he ended up being a bit of a cancer in the locker room.
I agree.
So I'm interested to see what he looks like on the Vikings and what he does for them.
Well, what typically happens are players leave the Packers and then they get injured.
And then they get injured.
And then they're out for the season. We get a lot of them. It just seems like it's like, do you not watch the news, the wire? I mean, how many times that these players, and then they leave, get a better contract, or like he came out today and said the reason I went to the Vikings is so I could play the Packers twice a year because he's mad at the Packers. He didn't feel like they treated him well. It's like, you know, it goes both ways. And when your teammates don't get you, give you the captain role again, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, that's nothing to do with the coaches or the organization. That's voted on by the players.
That's right. So I
Didn't
don't know
he
what happened.
still wear a diamond captain
He
necklace?
went and got a
He went and got one.
yeah, so he could wear the captain.
I like it.
Bought himself the
I
captain.
wonder if he's a captain on the Vikings.
Well, I don't know. I
We'll have to
don't
see. They'll probably talk about it.
know. Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
But
But
I'm
yeah,
excited.
it's gonna be fun to get it open, trying to get past the fact that everything's gonna die now because it's turning to fall and winter,
But you get
but then we get
beautiful
to watch
colors and
football.
crunchy leaves first. I enjoy fall. Just because it's leading to winter, I still enjoy fall. I love the colors.
Oh, I do too. We're fortunate living along the Mississippi that we get some absolutely. By the way, we have nature has just gone bonkers around our place here. The deer, fox, eagles, hawks, ravens. It's just like
Oh my.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but it's cool. It's nice.
Is cool. You living next to the river there, that probably helps. We get a lot of wildlife next to our apartment here because we have that stream going past us.
And you get some really good music. Did you guys have that Journey tribute, right?
The
Was it Journey?
Queen tribute band?
Queen, Queen,
No, that
Queen.
one got rained out. That
Oh,
concert got
that's right.
rained out.
Boy, that's too bad.
That was the one I was most looking forward to. So where my wife and I live, we have, a lot of places do that concert in the park in the summers, the weekly concert. And we are facing the park they do it at in our area, so we can just watch from our balcony,
It's
which is
across the road.
not even. It's like just a small service road right there, so it's not even a
That's
main road.
crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then this weekend, actually, here they have Happy Days Festival. which is each year they do a big kind of like local festival with games and booths and things like that. And then live music in the evening, a big fireworks show. So that'll be fun. Yeah, that's this Saturday.
Wow. It's also the Little Falls Craft Fair, Little Falls, Minnesota Craft Fair.
That's right.
One of the largest in the upper Midwest, if not the.
Yeah. So I'm excited for this weekend. It's been a long off season. We have a lot to look forward to, I think, with this team. A lot of storylines to follow. And thank you for everyone who is coming back for another season of Bleeding Green and Gold. We appreciate all of you. Enjoy doing this very much, and we enjoy that we can bring some kind of joy to others as well.
Well, I couldn't say it better, brother. Thank you.
All right. So,
until next week, go.
Go pack. Go. I didn't know. I was going to do it at the same time as you, and then I remember, last season we started doing it every other. So, we'll get it down. This is preseason for everyone.
This doesn't count.
That's right. All right. We'll see you next week, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, go Pack, go!